here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But that doesn't mean we're going to have a dampened sports conversation. There's always a lot to talk about. So welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompiani here. It's Maddie Harkins behind the glass taking your calls. And that number is a simple one to remember. It's 412-928-9370. Make sure you call it. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our Twitter on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. Our show brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochran.com. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the sports call. Shandorovich, Shandorovich and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And what we're talking about today, at least we'll start here. Diana Rossini of ESPN has just tweeted this out. The Steelers are open to listening to trade offers for Deontay Johnson. This is interest from teams around the league as GMs are getting set for free agency. So we have the, quote, legal tampering period on Monday, which is always interesting for me. The legal tampering, as opposed to the illegal tampering, which I'm sure has already gone on. But that's the way it goes in the NFL. And, you know, quite frankly, I think we've talked about Deontay Johnson before and the fact that he is a guy who has been the subject of a lot of trade speculation. For me, if he's not satisfied with his role, which I think is a number two to George Pickens and should be a number two to George Pickens, then fine, deal him. Get a nice pick. What would it get? A second-round pick maybe? He's in the final year of a contract if that's what he wants, and if that's what they want, then do it. They can always find wide receivers, I think, in different places. And this is not to say that Deontay Johnson is not a good wide receiver. When he's on, he is good, but there are too many incidents like what we saw in that Cincinnati game where the fumble came out and he seemed to ignore it and, you know, celebrating in a game that was completely over when he got a touchdown. Those sorts of things are little nuisance things for me. But overall, if you get him the ball, he's capable of making big plays. And I think there are a lot of teams around the NFL who would like to have him. So that could be a good situation for the Steelers. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to start. That just happened, so I brought it up. We're going to get more into football stuff in a second, and I know you want to talk about that at 412-928-9370. I want to start with the trade deadline for the Penguins, and what direction do you think the Penguins are headed? This was not a surprise that Jake Ensel was dealt. Kyle Dubas pretty much said that the contract talks with Ensel did go on. There were offers, but you know, he wanted more than they were willing to pay, quite frankly. So therefore, they had to make a decision. You can't let him go and get to the offseason and get nothing for him. So what they got for him was a guy named Michael Benting, who I like. He's a steady top six performer with Carolina. He has been. He's been on their power play. He's a good guy. He carries a $4.5 million price tag, which is essentially what the Penguins have got to pay for the rest of Jake Ensel, I think. So it's kind of a, you know, even transaction from a financial point of view. But he's a good player. He has a couple of years left on a contract. He can certainly help the top six somewhere. They've also picked up prospects. And again, people always ask, what do you think about the deal? And really, the answer should be, who knows until you see these prospects. They got three prospects, but two of them are supposed to be legit. They're not among the best prospects in Carolina's system. Two of them are former second-round picks. They're young at 20 and 21. Can they have a role in this? Probably. When? Who knows? So before you grade anything like this, you'd have to ask the question, what are those prospects going to be like? Michael Bunting's a good player. I like him. But they need more than that. They also acquired two, quote, conditional draft picks. Now, if you're a fan of number one picks and you want the Penguins to get Carolinas, then you would expect and root for them to get to the Stanley Cup final. They are poised to do that. They have a very good team. Right now, one of the best in the East, adding Ensel to their either the Aho line or the Natchez line will give them something they haven't had in the postseason, which is a guy who can finish. Ensel is a proven product in the postseason. He can finish. Carolina has had good teams, but they can't finish. They can't score enough goals. He will help them in that regard. But if they get to the Stanley Cup final, then the Penguins get Carolina's first-round pick. And if they do that, that means they're going to be picked number 31 at best. I'm not so optimistic about the 31st overall pick. If they don't get to the Stanley Cup final, then they get Carolina's pick that they got from the Flyers, which was a second-round pick, which would be in the late 40s or early 50s. So I'd be more excited if this was a top 10 pick, but it's not going to be because Carolina's a good team. But they got to get to the final. And if so, the best case for the Penguins is the 31st pick. So they'll have their own pick plus the 31st pick. Again, draft picks in the NHL are hard to assess, and how quickly or not they get to the top team is debatable. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, I've never seen these guys play, and anyone who is talking about this likely hasn't seen any of these guys play. You can look at videotape, and they're impressive. But they're 20 and 21, and most likely not going to be here next year, although you never know. So we'll await a grade on that. I would say that losing Gensel is not a good thing, but I also think a harsher grade for me would come looking back into the Penguins and Kyle Dubas's first year on the job. There were some mistakes made. They got rid of a lot of contracts that they didn't want in the Carlson deal, which was fine, except paying Carlson that kind of money. They kind of doubled down on something they already had. I think they needed to go in another direction there defensively, not just another clone of Chris Letang, which is pretty much what Carlson is. They didn't do that. They got him. Everybody was so excited to think they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender. Well, they have top every talent. And there's a quote yesterday that Evgeny Malkin gave out that I think rings true. And this was his quote. We have great players. We don't have a great team. And that's pretty much what the Penguins are right now. They have a lot of great players, Hall of Famers to be, but they don't have a great team. So they're going to try to change that by getting younger, by getting, you know, a lot of draft picks that they hope can turn into something. Now, whether or not these former number two picks from Carolina can turn into contributors, we'll wait and we'll see. I think the Penguins are still waiting on some of their own. Sam Poulin's a guy. You know, that Legacy was a guy that they thought would be here or much earlier. They're not even here yet. So it's hard. It's not easy to get NHL players who are drafted as young kids to go through the system and come up and be productive players. They need some of that. They had that when they won Stanley Cup championships. They had guys, an influx from Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, the Rusts of the world, the Wilsons of the world, the Kunackles of the world, the Jake Gensel eventually, a third-round pick. They need guys like that to come up and blossom. Same with the Pirates. I mean, it's very similar in that regard. They got players that look good on paper, but what will they be? So this is where the Penguins are right now, and it leads to an offseason after they traded Chad Ruedel and also Ty Smith and Magnus Hellberg. Those are, incidental pieces. I don't think you have to worry about that so much. But they're going to have money to spend in the offseason. Where they spend it is going to be critical. How they spend it will be critical. To me, Ryan Graves was a lot of money and a lot of term for someone who I thought was going to be much better. Now, maybe he will be much better. Patience is very, very much a virtue and a necessity in sports. I think we need to remember that. Because even though this first year did not look good, I think Ryan Graves has better potential. If not, that's a bad contract. I think, and this goes back to the Hextall days, he did a bad job leaving what was in. Kyle Dubas inherited this, and he's trying to dig his way out of this. In terms of heavy contracts to guys like Brian Rust, guys like Rickard Rakell, they could have used that money to sign Gensel, who I'd rather have than Rickard Rakell, but they did that. So they're kind of stuck with it. And as I talked to Joe Starkey this week, I'm a big non-advocate of no trade clauses. Somehow they got introduced into the game. They're the worst thing going. GMs get strapped because they can't move guys. Once it gets into a game, it doesn't go out of the game. It only gets worse. And then you start giving partial trade clauses to these people who have no business getting any of that. I understand it's in the game. It's not going to go away. The NHL Players Association, or for that matter, any professional sports union, they won't let it get away. It's part of why guys make decisions. But to me, it's the worst thing, one of the worst things that got into sports. 412-928-9370 is the number to call there. The Penguins will be in Boston today, and then they have Edmonton at home tomorrow. Connor McDavid and company. You're going to see a real 1-2 punch on playoff teams coming up here with Boston, which is hopeful of winning a Stanley Cup. They have a very good team, and Edmonton, which has put it together after they fired their coach, brought in a new coach. And Knobloch, their head coach now, has been terrific in terms of getting the most out of this team. Zach Hyman's turned into a 44-goal scorer. Who would have thought that? But he's playing extremely well on a line with Connor McDavid. You'll see them tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Today's game with Boston is at 3 o'clock. The other topic, of course, is Russell Wilson was in town. From what I understand, still may be. If not, he's leaving today. But he was making the rounds. He went to the Giants first, Pittsburgh second. And the big question that people are asking is, does this mean they'll sign him? You know, that's a reasonable question. To me, it goes against what they've kind of said about Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin has been pretty stern in saying that he's going to come back and he will be at the top of the depth chart. And that's fine. Again, I mentioned patience in the previous comment about professional athletes and you know, hockey players. Patience is a good thing. Sometimes it's a bad thing. But you have to see how guys react. The one thing about Kenny Pickett that I'll say is I've always been intrigued with some of the stuff he does late in games. But you have to also consider some context with that. Most of the time in those situations, they were trailing. Teams kind of called off the dogs, went in to prevent. Things became open. He didn't feel the pressure that he would feel in the first three quarters, which is where some of his weaknesses occur, where he's trying to spin away from pressure as opposed to absorbing it in the pocket. I still think Kenny Pickett, and we saw in the Cincinnati game, the one game he had after the Matt Canada firing, it was very encouraging what he did in that game. And if you're of the belief that the coaching held him back with Matt Canada, then why would you not think that a new offensive coordinator would help him? Arthur Smith's coming in here. He's brought a new quarterback coach in Tom Arth. If you believe that there is some talent in there that hasn't been extracted and then this man can do it, then you owe it to yourself to give him an opportunity, right? If you're the Steelers, 20th overall first-round pick, you're just going to give up on him that quickly? A lot of people want to. A lot of people think 25 games is a big enough sample size to make that decision. I don't know. I'd be willing to see what this new staff can do with him. The only way that happens is if Russell Wilson doesn't come here. Because to me, like Justin Fields, if either of those guys come here, they would be starters because they have better resumes, because you're investing in them, right? Russell Wilson won't cost any money. Denver, I don't know what Denver does sometimes, $242 million deal. 2 years into it, they say that's enough. $85 million in dead cap hit money. They're going to pay him $39 million this year, and the Steelers can pay him whatever they want. And that's attractive. I get it. But if he comes here, I don't believe he'll be agreeable to be a backup. And if he is the starter, what have you learned about Kenny Pickett? You know, sooner or later, there's an option to be picked up, and they're expensive options. And if you have no real understanding of what your quarterback is, how can you pick up that option? So I think that's where they are with this. So my gut would tell me, as much as I think Russell Wilson is a talented quarterback, had a pretty good year, there are detractors out there. People at age 35 think that maybe you've seen the best of him, and you won't get that here. But if he did come here, would he give them a better chance? Oh, yeah, he would, because he's established. He knows exactly how to play the game. Kenny Pickett's still learning that part of this. But to me, if you bring him in, you're now saying that Kenny Pickett may not get the chance that he needs and that the organization needs to figure out what he is before he gets to option years and things they have to make decision-wise. Now, to me, I've always said, I believe what they say about Mason Rudolph, that they'd like to have him back. And, you know, there would be a competition, but I think they would look at that differently than Russell Wilson. At least I would. If Russell Wilson's here, he can't be a bad, unless he's agreeable, unless they have a conversation and say, hey, we want you here to help him. And he's agreeable to that, knowing that he's still a very competitive guy and would love to start. I think that would be interesting, but I just got the feeling that's not going to happen. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Flash in Munhall, who joins us here on the Fan Hotline. What's up, Flash? How are you today?
Family.
What's that?
How's your family doing?
Oh, doing great. Thank you.
That's good. Tell my son hi. Hey, listen, I'm tired of this musical chairs with quarterbacks, you know? It's all they got to do is kick Kenny and Rudolph. I don't want these retreads.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the way they go, actually. And that's my gut.
I hope so, because you know what? They can do it. 1-2 punch. They got a good one there. And one more thing. Kenny Pickett was not the 20th pick. He was a 17th pick.
No, he was the 20th pick.
No, 17th. You check it.
No, 20th.
Okay, I thought it was the 17th.
Well, whatever. He's a first-round pick, Flash, and they're not going to just give up on him that easily, especially when they have things invested in him and they have to make a future decision about it.
This is only going to be his third year. It took Bradshaw 4 years. 70, 71, 72, 73, and then he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, with a bad team that got better, and he was a big reason for it. So, yes, that's what I said before.
Yeah, right.
Patience. It's a big word.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have it today in sports. GMs don't have it. Sometimes fans certainly don't have it, but you have to have it sometimes to develop players. Thanks for the call, Flash. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break. 412-928-9370. I see a lot of people ringing in. We'll get you hooked up and get on here. Your thoughts about all these things I covered. And I'd like to also get into the Pirates. And one kid I'm really excited about watching, and I hope he gets a chance at some point, is Jarrett Jones. We've seen him in a couple of appearances. He's only 22. That's what I like most about him. Could he crack the starting rotation? Based on what we've seen, and he's moved up pretty quickly through their system, I would like to see that. He had 101 the other day on the gun. We talk about Chapman. We talk about Priester. But this guy can bring it as well. More on that coming up. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Get in now. Let's talk sports up until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.